As we've mentioned in our Sunday evening lessons on the book of Proverbs, the first 10 chapters of Proverbs are given in a format of kind of like a father giving his son instructions, but it's given, of course, from wisdom. Wisdom is speaking. Wisdom is giving advice. Wisdom is telling, especially young people, because that's primarily the intended audience of the first 10 chapters, is young people. But it's telling young people how to avoid so many of the problems in life that young people tend to get involved in. And that's been true with chapter 1 and chapter 2. And tonight, as we look at the first part of chapter 3, we see that theme continued of a father giving a son instruction. And we know this is, I give my kids advice all the time. On occasion, they listen. It's pretty rare, but they do listen on occasion. But sometimes my advice is wrong. Whereas here, when God gives instruction, when He gives advice, when He gives us wisdom, it's perfect. It's never wrong. So when He's giving us these admonitions, especially to young people, but to everybody, because regardless of how old we are, there are still rocks to stumble over. There are still pits we can fall into. So it's for everybody, and we can all learn something from it. And so we're going to look tonight at about the first 12 verses of Proverbs chapter 3. They form kind of a unit in this wonderful book. And we need to think about, like, picturing a father setting his son down and giving him advice about life, because that's how it's given to us here in Proverbs chapter 3. Notice the first two verses as we start. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you. Have you ever given advice to your children about how to have a good life? You know, if you give advice to them about, here are some things to avoid, or here are some things to do, and if you follow them, you'll avoid these things, or you'll avoid those things, or you'll have a better life, you'll have a happier life, you'll have a more peaceful life. That's what he's doing here in Proverbs 3. He says, my son, hear the words of my law. Listen to what I'm about to say. Receive these words with the spirit that they're being given. Because the father is wanting his son to have a good life. And everybody in the world would have a better life if they followed the book of Proverbs. Plain and simple. And so, here the Father is giving advice. Listen to this. It will truly help you have a happier, more joyful, more peaceful life, if you'll just heed these words. And notice what he says. He says, let your heart keep my commands. See, don't forget. Don't let them slip from your memory. So keep them bound in your heart. And let your heart keep my commands. The heart is so important in the Bible. It's considered the seat of our emotions, our will, our determination. All of those things are kind of rooted in what he talks about being the heart. So he says, when you receive this advice, these instructions, let it sink deep into your heart and remember them. And that's how he starts. And of course, it's very important when we give advice to our kids about physical things, about having, you know, things in this life. But primarily, we want them to have a good spiritual life. And these are the things he's wanting us to know. Because if we do these things, he says, you'll have length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Now that is a general rule. There's lots of general principles in the book of Proverbs. There's lots of principles in the Bible that are excellent general principles. And that's what happens most of the time, train up a child in the way he should go, when he's old and not depart from it. That's a general principle. Is it always true? No. But that's the general principle. Does every child of God have a peaceful life? Do they all live a long life? No. Okay? No, they don't. But that's the general principle. And if you're going to have a long life, length of days, and peace, if you want that to happen, then you need to follow His advice. Don't forget my law. Let your heart keep my commands. God knows, you know, no one else may know the condition of your heart, but God knows at every instant of your life just exactly what's in your heart, how you're devoted to Him, how you're committed to Him, all of those things. So He knows the condition of our heart at every instant. We may come to church services and look like the most spiritual person, but God knows if our heart is right or not. You know, we can fool everybody in the world, but we cannot fool Him. So when we keep His law and we let this advice, you know, go into our heart and stay there, He knows if it's there or not. He knows if it's there. And we need to remember that. You know, when those of you that's had teenagers, and many of you have, it's not exactly the time of life when they tend to listen to advice the greatest amount of time. But unfortunately, that's the time of life when they need to listen the greatest. But they often don't. That's that time when they're really trying to be independent. And so the father here in Proverbs, we see this picture. You know, if you will just listen to this advice, I'm giving it to you because I love you. Not because I'm trying to restrain you or restrict you from having fun or anything like that. That's not why I'm giving you advice here, he says. That's not why I'm instructing you. I want you to have a wonderful life. And you can if. You can if. But see, it's conditioned. It's conditioned upon accepting these things. It's conditioned on that person's attitude. Because that has so much to do with their heart. So he says, here's some of the advice that I want you to keep in your heart always. First of all, verses 3 and 4. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. There he mentions that again. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Here's the first bit of advice here in chapter 3 that he gives. One writer called these God's life preservers. I like that expression. God's life preservers. Mercy and truth. Some translations have kindness there for mercy, but certainly those are very closely related. But he says, you have to have both. If you want to have this type of life, length of days, a peaceful life, a life that God holds you in high esteem, then you must wear this dual necklace. This necklace of mercy or kindness, this necklace of truth. Don't expect to have a life God esteems you for if you only try to wear one of those necklaces. It says you have to wear both. Truth and kindness, or truth and mercy. Not one or the other, he says, but both. They're both essential. And where are they supposed to be written? On the tablet of your heart. On the tablet of your heart. We go back, remember, in Jeremiah chapter 31, 31 through 34, where Jeremiah gives a prophecy about God had given the nation of Israel a particular covenant, but he said that was a temporary one. I'm going to be giving you a new one that's not going to be written on tablets of stone. It's going to be written on your heart. And, of course, he did just that. So this is coming to us as advice from the Heavenly Father because He knows best. I like to be around people that are kind and merciful. How many of us, if we had a choice, would rather be around rude, unkind, obnoxious people? Not me. So God says here, if you want to find favor and high esteem in the sight of both God and man, then you need to bind mercy, kindness, truth around your neck. Bind them. Make sure they go nowhere. bind them, because they need to become a part of who you are, so that when people think of you, they think of somebody that is kind and merciful, that's not rude or ugly. I know our society really seems to hold up in esteem people who are rude and ugly. The ruder and the uglier, the better. But that is not how God thinks. And so the other part is truth. And of course, the Bible tells us that truth comes from God. And truth is not just some acknowledgement of truth. You know, truth, he says here, is supposed to be on our hearts. So truth has to become a part of us. It does absolutely no good to read God's Word and it not, and you don't allow it to sink into you and change who you are. It doesn't do you any good. You might as well read the newspaper or Time magazine or something. If you don't allow it to change you into a better person. And that's what the Father is telling the Son here. You know, these words here have to be internalized. You have to bring them into yourself, your will, your emotions, your determination, all of these things. So it changes who you are. And it changes you for the better. You become a person of kindness, of mercy, of truth. That's the kind of people we should become. And that's the kind of people God wants us to become. Well, he gives more advice. Verses 5 and 6. Here's the second bit of advice. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Now, here's the second bit of advice. Here's the Father talking to the Son. He says, Son, something essential to having a long life, a peaceful life, a happy, joyful life, is trusting in the Lord with all your heart. This is the third time he's mentioned the word heart already. Thinks it's pretty important. A casual reading, a casual listening to God's Word is not beneficial unless you allow it, you bring it inside and it changes you. That's what the Father is wanting the Son to do. You allow these things to sink deep into your heart. So the second thing is, if you want to live a joyful, peaceful life, then place your trust in God. So that's the second bit of advice I can give you. Regardless of what it is, trust in God. And don't lean on your own understanding. You know, the prophet said that it's not in man to direct his own steps. It's not. You know, our society is very much into that. That everybody needs to direct their own steps. They need to find their own way to whatever they call a good life or whatever they call happiness. It's all up to you. You do what you know. Well, that's not what the Bible says. Don't lean on your own understanding. It says, put your trust in God. God never lets you down. You can let God down, obviously, but God is not going to let you down ever. Is that the kind of life we want? Is that the kind of life we want for our children? I want my children to have a happy, peaceful, joyful, long life. But to do that, they need to listen to God's words here as given through the Father to the Son. And their life will be a better life. More peaceful life. Better in every way. If they will do that. Always keeping God's will in mind. Always keeping God's will in mind. He gives some more advice. Verses 7 and 8. Third bit of advice that's critical. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Young people tend to be overconfident. That's why many of them have car wrecks, right? One of the reasons they have car wrecks when they're young. They're overconfident. They think they know how to handle all of these experiences when they get behind the wheel. And so because they're overconfident, when something happens, they can't handle it. And so they hit a car, they can't make a corner, they're going too fast, they can't stop in time. Overconfidence. Well, that's what the father is telling the son here. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't think that you have all the answers. Don't think that you know everything. Don't think that you've experienced everything. You haven't. It says here what you need to do. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Reverence the Lord. Hold Him in esteem. Depart from evil. Run from evil. Don't see how close you can get to evil. Run from it. It says if you do that, it'll be what? Health to your flesh. In the Hebrew, flesh is actually the word navel. Because at the time, the navel was considered that center of your fleshly body was your navel. And so later translations have translated it flesh because that's what the author meant. It'll be health to your flesh and strength to your bones if you don't think that you know everything. That you're not wise in your own eyes. A tremendous advice. Be not wise in your own conceits, Paul told the church in Rome. Here's the fourth bit of advice. Verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. So here's the fourth principle, he says, for having a long life, a peaceful life, a good life, a happy and joyful life. Give God your best. That's the fourth bit of advice. Give God your best. The first fruits of all your increase, regardless of what your increase is. Give God your best. Give God the best of your time. Give God the best of your abilities. Give God the best of your opportunities and resources. Give God the best. If you want to have a good, happy, long, peaceful life, God says it's essential. You give Him the best. Not leftovers. You know, a lot of the minor prophets, especially Malachi, talked about how so many of God's people were giving God the leftovers. And he said, if you'll just give God the greatest, the best you have, you'll be amazed at how He returns that to you. Well, that's what he says here. Honor the Lord with your possessions. And he says, if you do, your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. And of course, to the Israelites living at that time, that was two indications of prosperity. Physical prosperity was a full barn and a vat filled to the top. The Bible has, the New Testament has, you know, the same type of advice. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For if the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. That's the same thing he says back in Proverbs. Give God your best. But see, it starts with you giving first. To obtain, you have to give. To receive, you have to give. Don't expect everything to be given to you without you giving anything. Tremendous advice. We shouldn't expect anything unless we're willing to give first. We really need to teach young people that principle. And then here's the last principle, the fifth one. Says, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest His correction. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. Says, there are going to be probably many difficult times. Some of those will be because God's chastening you. But He does that, just like the Hebrew writer talks about. He does that because He loves you. And that's why a parent disciplines a child. not for vengeance or because they're mean. It's because the chastening, the discipline, is good. See, that's why he does it. And he says, God will do that to you. But it's going to help you have a long, peaceful, joyful life if you receive that chastening. So he says, don't despise it. Don't despise it. Realize what it is. Don't detest it. Why? Because God loves you. Just as the Father loves the Son in whom He delights. He corrects him. He disciplines him. He chastens him. But it's because He is helping him become a better person. You ever been around someone who was never corrected or disciplined as a child? Oh my. They make horrible adults. Horrible adults. So he says, take this chastening as something that's going to make you a better person. Just as the person, you know, training to become a better athlete, they take that pain knowing that it's going to make them better. And that's the fifth and final bit of advice he gives here in the first part of Proverbs 3. Five bits of advice that will help anybody, especially young people, but anybody. That all that advice applies to all of us. We'll have longer, healthier, happier, more joyful, peaceful lives. And that's the principle. And that's the advice he gives. But realize it comes from God. All of that advice comes from God. Because He wants us to have that kind of life. Is every child of God's life going to be perfect? And well, of course not. He even says that in the last bit of advice. It's not going to be a perfect life. But the child of God's life is the best life. Period. That's something we certainly learn from Proverbs as well as the whole Bible. It's the best life. It's not a perfect life. It's not a life that's lying on a bed of roses. Because God is wanting to make us into better people. He wants to change our character. And that's how He does it. As I mentioned from Jeremiah 31, that new covenant, that new gospel, that new message was being sent through His Son. And it would change us. You know, we would take that message, we would take it inside, and it would change us. And that's what repentance does, doesn't it? When our faith in Christ as the risen Savior, when that faith is such that it causes us to change our mind. See, that's inside. That's changing our heart. That's changing who we are. We're changing goals. We're changing aims. We're changing purposes. No longer living for ourselves, but now we're living for God. And so we submit our lives to Jesus. And that causes us to change. Causes us to change our character, our conduct, our conversation. And then that leads to a great confession based on our belief. And because we trust God's Word that if we go into water, regardless of what kind of water it is, and we're immersed, we're buried, and we believe at that time, not before that time, but at that time, our sins are washed away, then if our trust is in God is such, then our sins will be washed away. Because that's what His Word tells us. His Word also tells us, if we trust it, that if we continue to confess our sins, 1 John 1, we continue to ask for forgiveness, He will continue to cleanse us. If we trust His Word. If you are ready to obey, if you're ready to come, we encourage you to do that as David leads us in this next song.